G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
This podcast is made available by Vision Christian Media, thanks to the generosity of our supporters. Your donation today means great podcasts like this remain available to help people look to God daily. Please make your donation to Visionathon today at vision.org.au.
I think God's pre-wired us to long for something more.
Definitely.
You know, the Bible says that God has set eternity in our heart.
Yes.
Today, Pastor Greg Laurie talks with author Lee Strobel.
There were nights as an atheist when I would stare up into the blackness and say, really? Is this it? I mean, when I die, I just am snuffed out forever. Fortunately, the greatest news about heaven is that it's real. And the worst news about hell is that it's real.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
Today, Pastor Greg Laurie has invited a friend of his into the studio for a fascinating discussion. Our guest is New York Times best-selling author Lee Strobel. Lee is a former atheist and at one time was the legal editor of the Chicago Tribune. He's trained in the law and in investigative journalism. We continue a look at the afterlife in this special broadcast titled The Case for Heaven, focused around Lee's new book.
You know, like a lot of atheists, I believe that it was like the light going out in a refrigerator.
Wow.
You close the door in the refrigerator, light goes out. I thought you just ceased to exist.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just as you didn't exist for millions of years before you came into being, now that your life is over, you just cease to exist forever. And that is actually a very frightening thought,
you know?
I mean, there were nights as an atheist when I would stare up into the blackness and say, really? Is this it? I mean, when I die, life just goes on unchanged in this world, and I just am snuffed out forever. It's a frightening thought. And the thing about it is, you know what? As an atheist, I was willing to accept it if it were true. You know, as difficult as it is to deal with it, if that is true, I got to accept it and learn to live with it. Fortunately, it's not true.
Mm.
Fortunately, the greatest news about heaven is that it's real.
Yes.
And the worst news about hell is that it's real.
Wow. Mm.
So the afterlife is real. It is a reality. And so I think the evidence, as I present in this book, points powerfully and persuasively toward the fact that there is an afterlife. And so I hope people read it and get encouraged and realize that, you know, as Greg often will say, where we end up spending eternity is dependent on how we respond to this offer from Jesus Christ of forgiveness and eternal life as a free gift of his grace.
I think God's pre-wired us to long for something more.
Definitely.
You know, the Bible says that God has set eternity in our heart.
Yes.
And we don't know what that something more is, or to be specific, that someone more. But we think, oh, as a little kid, it's, you know, a new friend, it's a new bike, you get a little bit older, and it's a wife, it's a husband, it's a career, you get a little bit older, it's retirement, it's security financially, et cetera. And you know, and then you keep moving forward and you find out that's not it. And,
right.
And I was thinking when I was a little boy, I was like 16 years old, I would be awake at night, and I believed what you believed, that I would cease to exist, and it freaked me out.
Yeah.
I thought, how can I cease to exist?
Yeah.
Because there was that kind of that pre-wiring that there's more.
Yes.
And that was a search. And, of course, ultimately, I came to the same conclusion you came to.
Yeah.
I wasn't the legal editor of the Chicago Tribune. I was just a confused teenager. But I found the same answer that you found, Lee, in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so that's a great—he takes us from hopelessness to hope.
Exactly. And what you said is so true. Ecclesiastes talks about God has planted eternity in our hearts. And the Hebrews there is a little confusing, but you know, where I see this illustrated in the life of non-believers is they try to somehow achieve immortality apart from God.
Yes.
And so they want to write the great novel that is going to carry their name on after they die. They're going to design a cathedral. They're going to paint a painting. They're going to put their name on the side of a building. They're going to give to a hospital and have a wing of the hospital named after them. That way I'll live on. Interestingly, some people have large families partially because they want their name carried on into history, the family name to continue. And yet, if you ask the average person, what was the name of your great-great-grandparents? They don't know.
Yeah. Mm.
They don't. I don't know the names of my great-great-grandparents. And then if they do know, you say, but do you care?
Yeah.
No, I don't care.
Yeah.
The thing is, with you know, if there is no God, then these vain quests for immortality amount to nothing. They amount to nothing.
Wow.
The amount of your DNA, which will continue on into future generations, gets smaller and smaller and smaller, so that in a few generations, there's not enough to fill a mosquito. So, you know, apart from God, there is no hope, as you say, and yet with God, there is hope. And what excites me as a guy who tends to be rational and logical, respond to evidence is, you know, this is not wishful thinking. It's not make-believe. It's not fairy tales. It's not mythology. This is based on solid data. And I cite data from the Bible. I cite data from outside the Bible to say that there is good evidence that we do indeed live on forever in one place or another.
Thanks for joining us today on A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie. Today in the special program titled The Case for Heaven, Pastor Greg is joined by best-selling author Lee Strobel. Let's continue as Lee explains why both believers and non-believers struggle to comprehend what heaven will be like.
The Bible says no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has even conceived of what God has in store for those who love him. We can't understand the beauty, the wonder of heaven yet. And so the Bible uses figurative language to try to suggest to us in an accurate way, but to kind of give us a little bit of a foretaste or an appetizer to try to understand what heaven's going to be like. But the truth is, we can't comprehend it yet. In fact, you know, in this world, we see a color spectrum, and it's based on the light from the sun. In heaven, the color spectrum would be based on the light of God. Mm. And so we're going to see colors in heaven we've never seen. Mm. And how do you describe that to someone? You can't. And so the Bible can't say, well, here's a color you're going to see. And you can't describe that.
Yeah.
So the Bible gives us suggestive language and so forth. And sometimes it can lead to a bit of confusion if you don't interpret it properly. But I think the confusion about heaven is true, as you say, not just among non-believers, but among many Christians. I hope this book gives people a sense of encouragement, a sense of wonder, a sense of anticipation, a sense of joy. I mean, when you think, consider this. You've seen pictures from the Hubble Space Telescope of the incredible galaxies and, you know, billions of light years width of the universe and so forth, and the beauty and the wonder of it. God called that into existence. And when you look under a microscope and you see the complexity of a cell and you see the beauty of flowers and the wonder of the animal kingdom, you say, this is the creativity of God. And to say that this God is going to create an afterlife, a heaven that is going to be an expression of his creativity and love for us, a place designed for us to maximize our sense of pleasure and joy and adventure and wonder. You think about that and you go, okay, I may not understand yet exactly what heaven is going to be like, but I'll tell you this, I can't wait to experience it because it's going to be awesome. Yeah. It's just going to be awesome.
That's right. So Lee Strobel, you are 70 years old.
Yes, I am. I'm an old man.
Well, I'm right behind you. So I am one. I'm 69.
Yeah.
You know, we all leave a legacy. Mm. We're all remembered for something. How would you like people to remember you?
Hmm. That's a great question, Greg. I think about something. What would I want on my tombstone?
Yes.
You know? And I think I'd want something along the lines of, He dragged as many people to heaven with him as he could.
I love that. I love that.
You know, I mean, God redeemed me. He changed me, transformed me, gave me a mission. He gave me purpose in life. And I just want people to experience that. I want people to have what I've had, which is the joy and the adventure and the wonder of knowing God personally through Jesus Christ, and experiencing that on a daily basis, of being enriched by Scripture and the wisdom and the stories and the insights that we get from Scripture. I just want people to experience that.
Yes.
And I think of my father-in-law was an atheist, and he had a stroke, and the doctors told us he was going to die soon. And so we had him at our house in a Lazy Boy chair, and I said to my wife and his wife, who was a Christian, I said, you know, give me one more shot. And they went out to do something, and it was just me and Al. And I looked to him, and I said, Al, do you realize you're dying?
Yeah.
I don't want to be in heaven without you.
Wow.
Your daughter, your grandchildren, your wife, we don't want to be in heaven without you. Al, please. And I, for 45 minutes, I cajoled him. I reasoned with him. I explained the gospel again and again. And then I began to see tears in his eyes.
Mm.
And I said, you want to receive Jesus right now, don't you?
Mm.
And he nodded. And at the age of 87, atheist his whole life.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. He prayed. He received Christ. And then my wife came back, and his wife, and we had a celebration. We were going to cook a dinner and have a party to celebrate Al coming home to God. But then we noticed something was wrong. His left side was sagging. He was having another stroke. Mm. We called an ambulance. Leslie, my wife, got in the ambulance with him, went to the hospital. I got in the car. She got to the hospital, and they put him on a gurney, and they were wheeling him into the emergency room. And he looked up at Leslie, and he said, tell Lee thanks.
Oh, wow.
And he went in, and that stroke ended up destroying his mind, and he lingered for a while, and then he died.
You got in under the wire.
Under the wire. The last cogent conversation of his life, and he received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And I will spend eternity in heaven with him, even though it was under the wire at the last moment. You know, Jesus tells that great parable about the landowner who hires the workers, some at 9 in the morning, some at noon, some at 5 p.m., and some at the end of the day, and then he pays them all the same thing. And they say, well, wait a minute, how fair is that? And he said, are you questioning my generosity?
Yeah.
You know, God's grace is so overwhelming that even my father-in-law, crusty old guy, Army veteran, you know, tough as nails, to receive Jesus in the last conversation of his life, now in heaven, he'll be with grandchildren and great-grandchildren he'd never met. And that's the wonder of God's grace.
He drug as many people to heaven as he could. Is that what you want? I love that. I haven't heard that before. If an older Lee could speak to a younger Lee, like a young boy maybe,
yeah,
what would you say to yourself?
I think I'd say, keep searching. The truth is out there.
Yeah.
You know, I'd want to say, don't give up. And I say that to anybody listening who says, I'm not sure about this stuff. I'm not sure I believe. I'm not sure what I believe. Keep searching. The truth is out there. The Bible says in the Old Testament and the New Testament, those who sincerely seek God are going to find him.
Yes.
God rewards That's those true. Who seek him. And so I would say, just don't give up. Keep seeking. And you know what? The seeking process is not in vain. It's a good thing. When I came to faith, ultimately, after 2 years investigating the evidence, God gave me that 2 years of evidence now that I use in reaching out to others with the gospel. And so it's not a wasted time.
That's right.
And so, as you said, you know, many times, to ask questions, to have some skepticism, as long as it's a healthy skepticism, is okay.
Yes.
Pursue answers, pursue evidence, and, you know, God will reward those who sincerely seek him.
This is A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie from Harvest Ministries in the U.S. Today's special program is called The Case for Heaven. Let's continue as Pastor Greg's guest, author Lee Strobel, shares the story of the phone call he received from the famous daredevil, Evel Knievel.
Yeah, Evel Knievel, a man who lived, he was a womanizer, he was a drunk, he was went to prison for beating up a guy with a baseball bat, lived a very godless life. And one day my phone rang, and I picked it up, and I said, hi, this is Lee. And the voice says, this is Lee Strobel. I said, yes. And he said, this is Evel. And I thought, oh my gosh, Satan has got my phone number. Can Satan do that? No. He said, is evil Knievel? Oh. And he told me the story. He said, I was on the beach in Florida and God spoke to me. I said, I felt it on the inside. And God said to me, Robert was his real name. He said, Robert, I've saved you more times than you'll ever know. Hmm. Now you need to come to me through my son, Jesus. Hmm. And he had this experience and he thought, I don't even know who Jesus is. So the only Christian he knew was Frank Gifford, the sportscaster.
Yeah.
And so he called up Frank, said, Frank, I had this experience. Who's Jesus? And Frank said, get that book, The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. That'll explain it.
Huh.
So he read my book. Anyway, he had a absolutely profound conversion experience.
How old was he when this happened?
He was around 70.
Yeah.
Around 70. And radically transformed. When he gave his testimony at the time he was baptized, the pastor literally ripped his sermon in two and said, you've heard the gospel today. You don't need me to preach a sermon.
Wow.
Evel Knievel just preached you a sermon. He just told you about the grace of God and how God transformed his life. And if you want to receive Jesus right now and be baptized right now, come on up. This church, I don't think, had ever had an altar call. 700 people came up and received Christ and were baptized. I mean, and I'll tell you one, Greg, as I got to know Evel, because we became friends before he died, and by the way, on his tombstone, at his request, it says, believe in Jesus.
Wow.
But his biggest regret, he used to call me up, he said, what if I had received Christ as a kid, as a teenager? My life could have been totally different. He said, I could have lived for God my whole life, but here I am. I'm an old man. And I would tell him, I would say, Evel, God is going to use you to reach people that maybe would not be reachable by someone who became a Christian as a kid, because you did live a wild life and you did live an immoral life. And yet God has redeemed you. He's changed you. He's given you new perspective, new values and so forth. And maybe you will have credibility with people that you wouldn't otherwise have.
Yeah.
But his biggest lament was, if I'd only come to Christ as a teenager. And I think about that when I speak to teenagers. And I think, you've got your whole life ahead of you.
Yeah.
And Evel would have given anything to go back, receive Christ, and live a godly life. He just had that sense of regret. So I tried to encourage him, and he became a dear friend. I look forward to spending time in heaven with him. Because when he died, we were looking for a motorcycle to buy. He wanted to get another Triumph motorcycle, Bonneville, that he used to jump way, way back when. And he was shopping for one at the time when he died, and he was going to give me a ride.
Uh-huh.
And I said, in heaven, I'm going to run into Evel Knievel. He's going to say, hop on the back, Lee. I'm going to give you the ride of your life.
I'm just thinking that right now you're listening and you might be a person who's older, 70, 80, maybe even older than that. And you're thinking, it's too late for me. It's never too late to come to Christ.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking of someone younger. Listen to the advice of Evel Knievel. Yeah. He had it all. He had fame. He had money. Yeah. He had all the things that people say you should have to be happy. But his regret was, why didn't I do this sooner?
Yeah.
Maybe you're young. You can do it right now. Learn from Evel's mistakes. And I'm thinking this would be a great time to just invite anyone listening, young or old, man or woman, boy or girl, whoever you are, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, why don't you do it right now? That's right, right now. I'm going to ask Lee to lead you in a prayer, and maybe you would pray this prayer with Lee Strobel, a prayer of accepting Christ into your life. Lee, could you lead folks in a prayer?
Yeah, just pray this. You can say it out loud or just say it in your heart. God will hear you. Just say, Lord Jesus, as best I can, I do believe that you are the Son of God. You proved it by returning from the dead. And right now, I confess the obvious, which is that I'm a sinner. I mean, there's no mystery about that. I've done things I knew they were wrong before I did them, and I did them anyway.
Hmm.
I've sinned. And I want to turn from that. In an attitude of repentance and faith, I want to receive. I want to receive this free gift of forgiveness and eternal life that you purchased on the cross when you died as my substitute to pay for all of my sin. Thank you for loving me so much that you underwent the torture of the cross so that we could be reconciled forever. Help me, Jesus, to live the kind of life that you want me to live. because from this moment forward, I am yours. Amen.
Amen.
If you've just prayed that prayer with Lee Strobel and meant it sincerely, the Lord has heard you and forgiven you. The Bible says Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we'd like to send you some materials to help you begin to live this new life. We call it our New Believers Growth Packet. Just ask for it and we'll send it your way free of charge if you've prayed that prayer today. Just call us on 1-800-PRAY-FOR-ME. That's 1-800-772-936. And the team would love to pray with you too. That number again, 1-800-772-936. Next time, Pastor Greg offers some important insight on the Lord's Prayer. Now, not the one we usually think of, the one that starts, "Our Father who art in heaven." We'll consider the prayer Jesus prayed on our behalf. Today's message from Pastor Greg Laurie with author Lee Strobel was called The Case for Heaven. If you'd like to listen again, just download the free Vision Christian Media app where it's available as a podcast. Or for a copy on CD, contact Vision Christian Store on 1-800-005011 or visionstore.org.au. Station sponsor.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.